get a witness.
Hallelujah.
I said, most important he is in us all, and for that we say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We're honored to be in church this afternoon. We thank God for all of our guests and visitors and friends. Amen. How many know that God is good?
Yes.
Come on, how many know that God is good? How many know we really get down to the feet of it? Can't nobody
do me like Jesus.
I said, can't nobody
do me like Jesus.
Not my sister, not my brother. My wife is all right, but she can't do me like Jesus.
Right.
Amen. We just thank God this afternoon, you know, that when it gets down to where the rubber meets the road, there's not a friend
all right.
like the lowly Jesus. I said, when we get down to where I was in an operation room,
Come on.
Amen, and my wife couldn't get in there. Hallelujah. Mother and father couldn't get in there. But there's not a friend.
Come on,
Elder. No, not one. No, not one. Because he was able. Hallelujah. I heard the disciples say they were shut up in the room and the doors were shut for fear. But the Lord appeared in the room and didn't have to go through the door. That's what I like about the Lord. Can't nobody else.
All right.
I said, can't nobody else come through a room without a door but Jesus. Amen. Let us stand for our scripture reading this afternoon, which will be coming from Matthew chapter 16. Amen. What a friend we have with Jesus. Those are the songs my mother taught me. She can't do me like Jesus, but she sure taught them to me. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry. You know, there's some things that people just cannot fix in our lives. There's some troubles that legislation cannot fix. There's some things that the judge, the lawyer and the police cannot fix.
Come on, Albert.
Amen. But what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. We live in a day and age where it seems like on every side, as Paul said, we're troubled. Amen. We just can't seem to get no relief. Can't seem to get help. The people and the ones we thought we could count on the most let us down the most. The ones that you thought you could depend on to the end. You know, they have an old saying, they said, blood is what? Thicker than water. Hallelujah. But there's some times when blood lets you down.
Amen.
So we're living in a day and age where if you're not careful, you lose hope in everything. That's why it's important that we have God in our lives. Amen. God is there in the midnight hour.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. When you're crying, amen, the whole house is asleep. And you can't seem to get no help.
Hallelujah.
He's there in the midnight hour.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When the doors are shut, amen, and everybody else is comfortable and you just tossing and turning, God is there. I tell you this afternoon, if you don't know the Lord, I said if you don't know the Lord, it's time to find out who he is.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get to this because I know y'all say, don't sit up there and talk all day. You'll be standing up for the next hour.
Preach on, Elder.
Amen. Matthew chapter 16, we're going to read verses 1 and 4, then I'll let you be seated. Amen. But on Friday evening, we went over the subtle influences, trying to see the different ways the devil tries to set us up to get the advantage. Verse 1 reads, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempted him, desired him, that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, we take nothing for granted, but we thank you that we have a mind to be in church. Lord, this afternoon, we thank you for a mind that we have to know you and to know you more perfectly.
Yes, Lord.
Now, Lord, we acknowledge at this time that except you stop by here and bless us. Lord, except you stop by here and touch our souls. Lord, except you plant a word in our hearts and in our minds, all of our effort is in vain. So, Lord, we request that you stop by here and bless us.
Yeah.
Lord, speak to us through thy word. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. I heard somebody say there's no other name. You may be seated.
All right.
There is what? No other name given unto heaven among men whereby we
must
be saved. Amen. As I said on Friday, we went over the influences that are around us. What are the influences? Can you go back to verse 3 of the same chapter? Verse 3 is where we're going to get our subject from. Amen. It says, in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and glory. Oh, ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the time. So our message this afternoon is, do you know what time it is? Do you know what time it is? They were trying to get Jesus to do one of those extemporaneous displays. You know, we'll believe God if you do something. God said, the very nature itself speaks to the time that we're living in. Amen. He said, how is it that you're able to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of the time? Amen. We're living in a very dangerous time, and Paul referred to this day and age, in these last times, as perilous times.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen. These are dangerous times. Not so much dangerous because of the natural, but dangerous because of the spiritual. Amen. Mankind and people everywhere can discern everything that's taking place, and they know everything. But the most important time they cannot discern is the signs of the time. Well, what are these signs of the time? An indication of that our Lord and Savior Jesus, he's on his way back to get every last one of us.
Come on, Elder.
Amen. But there's some qualifications that we must meet in order to go back with him. So Jesus tells them plainly, he said, you're looking for a sign. He said, there's no sign that shall be given you except for the sign of the prophet Jonas. Amen. Then after he finished, they were waiting for more. And the Bible says he just departed. They were looking for God to do something more. But Jesus said, I've done enough already.
Hallelujah.
God has shown the church enough already. Amen. Paul, in writing to Timothy, said that the Spirit speaketh expressly or particularly or beyond any doubt that in the last time, dangerous times shall come. Well, what are the signs of the danger? God is not concerned about all of the natural, but God is concerned about the spiritual. God is concerned about, can you say that as well? With my soul. God is not concerned about your house that you live in. Because I heard him say in the book of John that in my Father's house.
Yes.
I said he's not concerned about the house down here. Because he said in my Father's house there are many mansions. Hallelujah. So he said, don't get caught up on your little mansion down here, but look at that mansion that's coming from heaven. In my Father's house there are many mansions. But what I like is he goes on a little further. He said, now, if I said I'm going to go away, he said, I will. He said, I'm going to go away, but I will. And I will receive you unto myself. These are the times that we're living in. But Paul tells Timothy, he said, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall from the faith. Indications of what time it is. Do you know what time it is? I'm talking about we got some Holy Ghost fire-filled preachers running for Jesus a long time, but some things have happened that caused them to depart from the faith. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of, you gotta be aware of the influences. Yes, we're holy. Yes, we're spiritual. Amen. But I heard the word of God say we are not to tempt the Lord our God. So we do not put ourselves in spiritually compromising situations. Amen. A lot of times, you know, when you prayed so long and you fasted so hard and you helped so many other people, after you preach to others, hallelujah, Paul said, I still got to keep under my body. Amen. What good does it do for you to get everybody else saved and you become a... is in the book. What time are we living in? What day and age? Do you know the times? Are you aware that Jesus gave us and the Word of God gives us indications of His second coming? In the book of Matthew, He talks about wars and rumors of wars. And what do we hear about every day on the news today?
Wars.
Y'all going to talk to us?
Wars.
I know. I say, you're doing enough talking, but if you talk back, I'll let the Lord help you out. Yeah. Amen. Because I'm not a long-winded preacher. I don't need no response. Amen. But I need you to sing with me, man.
Amen.
Talks about wars and rumors of wars. You can't turn on the news. You cannot pick up a newspaper. You can't go anywhere where you're not hearing about wars and rumors of wars. Every time you turn around, you're hearing about Korea. You're hearing about Iran. Everywhere is wars and rumors of wars and America being attacked and America attacking somebody else. Jesus said these are indicators of the times that we're living in. Amen. He goes on to talk about famine and pestilence. Amen. Earthquakes and divers places. These are all spiritual indicators. Amen. But what he goes down, then you go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, he goes down further and he lists some other things that maybe are not so obvious with the natural eye. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and then whole 2 Timothy chapter 3. So I'm going to do a Bible class and a preaching class. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
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 I'm going to teach until you get dead. Then when you die, I'm going to preach. All right? So we can all say together, can I get an amen?
Amen.
1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. There are some other indicators. He said, seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. Verse 2. Speaking lies and
lies.
You never heard such a time where so many Bible believing people are acting like hypocrites.
Come on.
These are signs of the what? Signs of the Lord coming again. Speaking lies and hypocrisy and having their conscience seared with an
iron.
We live in a day and age, you know, this, that Jody Iris. You know what? There was a time when somebody did some of the stuff she did. You just get on the news and talk about it. I mean, if they ask you about it, you have to have a little reservation. Because we had a conscience. Our conscience governed what we did and how we acted. But he said one of the signs of these dangerous times is they would have their conscience seared with the what? Hot iron. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Conscience seared with an hot iron. Amen. I heard a bishop say there were things years ago when people did stuff, they kept it behind the doors because of their conscience. Today, everything is coming out the closet.
Yeah.
They need to stay.
Come on, y'all.
area, you got to have some tolerance. And you got to accept them. You need to put them back in the closet.
Yeah.
Can we write a closet message to Obama? President Obama, we love you. We appreciate what you're doing. But we're going to give you some closet messages.
Yeah.
Put those homosexuals, put those lesbians, put those transgenders back in the closet.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Spirits influencing our children. Amen. People talk about, I don't know if I'm a man or I'm a woman. Well, they got medical science. They say they can do a DNA. Then if you're a woman, your chromosomes are XX. And if you're a man, they're XY.
Yes.
So you can't figure it out. Go to the science. Amen. And you can figure out what you are. So there's a whole lot of stuff. Amen. It's coming out that needs to be put back in the closet. Do we have any closet police? Amen. Do we have any closet police?
You better get some.
Your job is to put that mess back in the closet. Because the Lord said he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and all of the plains. He said, you know what? Because man is too sympathetic. I'm not going to let you do this judgment. God said, I'm going to do this judgment. So what did the Lord do? He rained fire from heaven and burned up those wicked cities. Nothing was left. That's what we need to get back to. Put them back in the closet. I want my son to be a son. And I want my daughter to be a daughter. I don't want to look at my son and hear no sweetness coming out of his voice. And I certainly don't want to look at my daughter and have no mm-hmm come out of her voice. I want it to be just like it is. Because that's how God created us. You ever read in Genesis? No one has ever read the Bible. In Genesis, it said in the beginning, he made them male and female. Therefore, shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave unto his
wife.
I wonder if they ever read that.
Come on.
Amen. Tolerance is an indication of the signs of the time. Chapter 2, verse 1, read, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times, in the what? What are we living in? Keep going on. This is a big indicator. Hallelujah. Thank God this is none of us. For men shall be lovers of. And the little lady dropped down to say that lovers of pleasures more than. They didn't say they don't love God. But one of the biggest indicators of the perilous time. These perilous times, God is saying these are some dangerous times.
Yeah.
If you're not careful, amen. He said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24, even the very elect would be deceived.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're failing to see the times that we're living in. Yeah. Amen. You talk to somebody about church and they tell you about themselves. Lovers more than God.
Yeah.
They didn't say they didn't love God. Amen. But it said they love themselves more than God. Lord, I'm so glad this afternoon that we know who the Lord is. Because I heard Jesus say. Hey, anybody know that Jesus, if he said it, plus he kind of knew what he was talking about? Come on. If Jesus said it, can we take that as Bible truth? Can we take that as a fact? Jesus said if a man. Amen. Do not deny himself. Pick up his cross and follow me every other week. Every other day.
Daily.
Some Sundays, but not other Sundays.
Daily.
What did Jesus say?
Daily.
Daily. They cannot be mine. All right, now, how many of you know that Jesus knows what he's talking about? But lovers of them own selves. Amen. When we love ourselves too much, say, well, you know, God understands how and why I'm like I am. Yes, he does understand. That's why he tells us plainly and simply, put nothing before me. Amen. Our own thoughts, our own actions, our own behavior is before God. We act like we want to act, and then we go to God and all disappointed because he doesn't answer our prayers. When the Bible makes it plain and clear that his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. Hello? Righteous. Well, God, I got no man's voice. I don't want y'all to get this show. Amen. We're going to just keep it man. If I want a woman, I'll call somebody else up for that. I'm keeping it in the man's voice right there. Oh, God. Oh, nobody mix me up. I'm 100% man inside and out. There's not even an inclination for me to the other side.
Come on, Elder.
But sometimes we say, oh, God, I've done this and I've done this and you haven't done this and you haven't done the other. You can do all the fill in the blanks. But God, why didn't you do it? Why didn't you make a way? Why didn't you change it? And God said, well, I'm looking at my book. Because guess what? Everything you do, God says, I'm keeping a record. Everything you think, God says, I'm keeping a record. And as I'm peering into my book, I can't answer that prayer. Because if I answer the prayer and you're wrong, you're not going to get it. God said, if I answer your prayer in your wrong, you're not going to get
right.
He said, and I'm looking at the book. Hallelujah. I'm going to use me. Amen, because I want to be right. Pastor, you didn't act so godly in this situation. You're asking me to do something for you, but I need you to get that right first before I can bless you in the next area of your life. I saw a pastor that somebody offended you 2 years ago, and you still mad today. Amen? Say, but I can't really bless you, because if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither can I forgive you yours. So since you did not get that right, God says, I cannot yet bless you. Amen. Pastor, there were some things that we need. Amen. And instead of you listening to what y'all picking on me, so y'all can say amen.
Amen.
Unless I'm zoning in on you too. There were some things in need. Amen. And you had a few extra $100. Everybody know that ain't true, but this is a scenario, okay? You had a few extra $100. And you knew they were in need, and you went out and bought you a nice suit and a pair of shoes. And you got 30 others in the closet. Now, that's not true, because I don't have none of that. But he said, how can you say you love me, and you do not express and reach out to your brothers and sisters that are in need? God said, so yes, I heard the prayer, but I still cannot answer you. Because you had an opportunity to be loving. You had an opportunity to share. But you had a selfish spirit. And all you can see is yourself.
Yes.
So God said, I could not bless you. Hallelujah. Pastor, I saw you at work. And you get paid for 8 hours. Watch out. Watch out for this, right? Mess up here a little bit. You get paid to work 8 hours, but you only work 2 hours. God said, I can't bless you because I'm keeping the record. I can't bless you until you get right, because as long as you're wrong, my ears are not open to your prayer. Amen.
Come on.
For seeing what you're doing. That's the love of your own self. Putting ourselves before God. But then we turn around and want God to do everything for us. Do you know what time it is?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
It's no longer time to keep putting ourselves before God. Amen. Well, God, you know, Pastor, we need somebody. Can you go over here and pray for such and such? Oh, you don't know how tired I am. I've been doing this. I've been preaching. I've been teaching. I've been doing this. Pastor, you want to go fishing? Oh, yeah, I go fishing. Right? I'm picking on me. But I know you can find yourself somewhere in it. The Bible said it'll be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, and proud. Blasphemers, disobedient. That's everywhere.
Yeah.
That's everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, what are these? These are indicators of the time. Amen. Disobedient to parents, unfaithful, unholy, without. That's just kids. They need to turn off the news. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, news is good. We ought to go on. Now, this is just hypothetical. Don't nobody really think I'm saying this, all right? Let's go on a TV destruction campaign. And I say, well, that guy crazy. He's going around destroying TVs. I'm not trying to destroy TVs, but if we can't look at the right things.
Come on, Albert.
And everything that we see leaves an indelible impression on our soul.
Yes, it does.
We need to do some things to get them right. Yeah. Everything, Bishop G.T. Haywood said, everything we receive through the spirit of our eyes leaves an indelible impression on our souls.
Yes.
And that thing that we receive through whatever the medium is and leave an impression on our soul will play itself out through our bodies. We need, hallelujah, to turn our eyes off against some ungodly things. We fail to realize the times that we're living in. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The devil is doing everything to stop trying to hinder our walk with him because we fail to realize the time that we're living in. We can't fail to realize that indeed the Lord is coming back.
You
say, well, I don't believe it. That won't change what's in the book. You don't have to believe it. What God says is true, is true. If he's coming back, he's coming back. And what answer will render our soul to be spared? For he's coming as a thief in the night. Let me go. I got one more. Keep going here. I got one more. It says, despise of those that are
good.
Traitors. Traitors. Heady.
High-minded.
Lovers of
pleasure.
More
lovers of God.
Than lovers of God. People will do anything for entertainment.
Yeah.
Will do so little for God. What are these indicators? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Indicators of the time that we're living in. When God examines me, I don't mind if you examine me, but when I want God to examine me because God can see what you cannot see.
Amen.
God can look down and reveal to me my secret faults. Those things that are so far down that I cannot find them, God can reveal those things unto me. Because God is not a man. So God does not judge our outward appearance. God judges our hearts. He judges the very fabric of our being to determine what we are and where we are going. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 reads, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in
mind.
Yes, a whole lot happened in the world, but the church is not supposed to be shaken. We are not supposed to be troubled, because everything that's happening around us are indicators of the times that we're living in. But we're failing to see how the devil has an agenda that tries to rival God's agenda. His very purpose is to try to hinder our walk. That ye be not soon shaken or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is. Can we say the day of Christ? All right, that's half of y'all. Come on now. I know y'all always say, come on now, Pastor, get us out of here. Come on, the day of Christ
is
at hand.
We
got to be watching. We got to be observant. We have to be able to discern that God is on his way back. God knows us better than we know ourselves. This afternoon, what kind of excuse will you be able to give God when the Bible lets us know he's recording everything that we're doing in our lives? He has a record. When we appear before God, will we be able to blame our lack of godliness and spirituality on someone else? And if we do, God's going to say, well, I told you in the beginning, thou shalt have nothing but nothing else before me. The question that we all must address this afternoon, in the spiritual state that we presently are in, is it as a result of what we have done, or what we've allowed other influences for what others have done to prevent us to being what God wants us to be? Why are you in the spiritual condition that you're in today? When the Bible lets us know that God's ever there for us, that God is there willing and working, why are we in the spiritual condition? Now, I'm not talking about all of the prosperity, amen. It doesn't matter, because I heard Paul tell Timothy, certainly we brought nothing into this world.
That's right.
And when we leave, guess what?
Wrong with nothing.
You're not going to take anything with you. There's only one thing that God has entrusted every last one of us with that we're supposed to treasure and protect, and that is our souls.
Oh.
There's one thing that God has entrusted every last one of us with that we're to treasure and protect and keep, and that is
our souls.
In the book of Ezekiel, God says, all souls are all of us belong to God. And just like in our natural families, when we're working with our children, you know, you say, well, I brought you into this world. Don't you know I want to do what's best for you? And it's hard to understand sometimes the decision that our children make. When we're doing everything to bring them the right way, you know, and we get so frustrated and aggravated, and we figure out, what more, as the Lord said in the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, concerning Israel, he said, what more could I have done? So we get frustrated. We beat our heads against the wall when it comes to our children. Well, just to let you know, you are a child of God.
Thank you.
God is doing everything to make things better for us. Why are we fighting him? Why are we resisting him? Amen. As in the natural, so in the spiritual. God does everything for us to make it better.
Amen.
But we fight him. We resist him. Amen. We struggle with him. Because the devil has an agenda. And that agenda is to distract us spiritually so we miss the mind of God. Amen. God is moving us to the right, and our natural mind is moving us to the left. God is telling us to go forward, but our natural mind is holding us back. Do you know what time it is? Do you understand the time? I'm going to close here in the last couple of verses. Go down to chapter, verse 9. This is talking about the wicked one, the Antichrist, even Satan. Verse 9 says, even him whose coming is after the workings of
Satan.
These are the times we're living in. These are the times that we're living in. After the workings of Satan, with all powers, signs, and everything that's a miracle is not a miracle. Everything that they're professing to be a blessing is not a blessing. Some of these things are lying wonders. They're signs, but they're not from God. Listen, God won't bless someone that's wrong. God won't bless you if you're doing wrong. You say, well, don't you see what God has done for me? There's more than one God that can give you a blessing.
That's right.
There are some things that we might have, but they are not from God. So how can you say that? Because the things that God gives you bring you to him. Lord, thank you. But the things that the devil gets you, takes you. Don't you see what God has done for me? Where are they taking you? Where are they leading you? You mean God that wants you to be saved? Scripture says, I wish above all else that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thine. Hello? I wish above all else that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thine. But you're prospering, but your soul is not prospering. Does that sound like God?
No.
Does that sound like the God that we serve?
No.
That desires for us to make it to heaven, and everything is a reason for us not to get closer to God. Everything is a reason for us to justify ourselves being contrary to God. Hallelujah. Lying wonders and signs. Well, I know, visitors, y'all come back again, but you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. God wants you to be saved.
Yes, he does.
Now, I can do all that for y'all, too. But you know what? The masking of doing all that is, you leave out of church, and maybe God didn't touch your soul. Maybe God did not reach into your spirit. Yeah. It's more important that we walk out the door and say, well, I said it's more important to walk out the door and say it's well
done.
So we can get into the hermeneutics and everything else. But what good does it do if we lost and on our way to hell? Because we do not make the right decisions. So he calls them lying wonders, and with all deceivable. All of that stuff you get is just deceiving. Making you think that God is giving you blessings and favors. Amen. The gut check for everything that God gives you is it brings you to him. Amen. And the Bible says it's time for us to work out our
own
salvation. It said, let a man so examine himself. Amen. You know, a lot of times we like to examine everybody else and forget we need to examine ourselves. Well, why do I need to examine myself to see if I'm in the faith or not? So I'm examining myself to see where am I at with God. Do you know what time it is? Do you understand the significance of making the right decisions?
Thank you, Lord.
Do you understand the decision you make today has a great deal to do with where you will spend eternity? The decisions we make today plays a great part in where we will spend eternity. You know, 1,000 years from now, can y'all use your imagination? 1,000 years from now, prayerfully we'll be in heaven. But if we're not, 1,000 years from now, will you be able to look at back at that one thing or several things that prevented you from being obedient to God? Will you be able to look at that and say it wasn't worth it? Lord, if I knew then what I know now, I would not have made that decision. Now that's creative thinking, all right? Go ahead 1,000 years. It's hard to do. But God has the record. And you can be assured one thing. He's keeping it. What we spend eternity will be determined by how we live today. The book of Luke, chapter, let me finish this before I go on. They always say I do that. I don't believe it, but I guess they're right. Let me finish this first, right? Did I go to something else? Amen?
Great.
After this, all deceivableness and of what?
Righteousness.
Either righteous or you're what? Righteous is what God wants. Unrighteous is what we want. And them that?
Perish.
So when you're unrighteous, you can't make it to heaven because you perish. Because they receive not
the love of the truth.
That's why I got to tell you the truth. I gotta tell you the truth, because if you don't accept the truth, you will perish. That they might be saved. That they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them. That they should. When we get so used to going contrary to God, we start believing anything and we know it's not true. And the last verse it is, that they all might be. So what happens when you don't believe the truth? You're damned if you believe not the truth. But the real issue they had, what? Pleasure in unrighteousness. It's important to be saved. It's important to be right before God. The Bible says Lazarus, who was a poor beggar, as we all stand and the rich man died. Lazarus was carried into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. And the rich man asked for Lazarus to come dip his tip for his finger in water and touch his tongue, because he was tormented in the flames. As the ministers come forward, and the Lord said, it's impossible. He said, it's impossible for Lazarus to come to you, because there's a great gulf between the two of us. You know, a lot of people say, well, you can live this way, and then after a while, God will move you on. The scripture is diametrically opposed to that. He said, there's a great gulf, so we cannot come to you, and you cannot come to us. The rich man said, well, I have 5 brothers that I do not want to come to this place of torment. He said, can you send Lazarus that he may testify to them? And the Lord said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, for neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We don't need anything greater. This afternoon, we need obedience to God's word. Amen. The truth will make us free. The reason that some of our situations are bound and we don't have freedom and peace is because we have not yet had a love of the truth. If you don't have a love of the truth, they say you'll believe a lie. And all lies will cause us to be damned. This afternoon, do you know what time it is? Do you know what God expects of you? If you know what time it is, and you know what God expects of you, don't put off for tomorrow what we need to do today. Amen. It's time to say, Lord, I surrender all. Not my will, not my way, but as the Lord himself said, Lord, thy will be done. Hallelujah.